Welcome to Souls Harbor Church. We're glad you're here. You can also join us in person at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. We are a place of grace and a Bible-believing Pentecostal church where everyone is welcome to come and experience God. On behalf of Pastor Clark and all of us at Souls Harbor, I invite you to come and worship the Lord with us. I know you'll be blessed. Now let's join the service.
Well, I want to talk to you tonight about having faith in God. If you'll open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 11 and verse 22, Jesus is talking to the disciples and they're questioning him. They're saying, how on earth did that fig tree wither up so quickly? We've all heard the story before that, you know, Jesus comes along, he sees the tree, it's not producing, and he cursed the tree, and when they come back by, it's toast. And the disciples are all amazed. They're like, Lord, how did that work? And Jesus answered them with four simple words. He said, have faith in God. He didn't get complicated. He didn't get slick about it. He was direct and to the point. Have faith in God. If you want something done, you have faith in God. See, we can have faith in all kinds of things. We can have faith in some terrible disease that the doctor says we have. We can have faith in that doctor. We can have faith in our spouse. We can have faith in our friends. We can have faith in a job. We can have faith in just about anything in this world we can put our faith in. But Jesus told us where it belongs. He said, have faith in God. Because you know what? It doesn't do any good to put your faith in your spouse. It doesn't do any good to put your faith in your parents or your children. It doesn't do any good to put your faith in that job. I can tell you all about that. It doesn't do any good to put your faith in that automobile you're driving. It doesn't do any good to put your faith in a pastor even. Our faith belongs in God. Period. End of the story. See, that ends with a period. There's not a comma. There's not a question mark. It's a definitive statement once and for all. Have faith in God. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because too often we put our faith somewhere else. When we start listening to each other talk, it's, oh, she's never going to listen. He's never going to understand. The doctor said, the test showed. I looked at the bank statement. I've pulled up on the computer and saw how much money I don't have. We've got lots of places we want to put our faith in. But our faith belongs in God. And you know, we use faith every day. I've used this example before, but when you go home tonight, if it's dark, you're going to flip on the light switch. And nobody's going to sit there and go, oh, I hope that light works. Well, maybe if you didn't pay the bill. But as long as you paid the bill this month, you're going to walk up there, you're going to flip that switch, and you know when you flip that switch that the light will come on. When you go out to get in your car tonight, you're going to turn that key, and you know that that car is going to start, and it's going to drive you from point A to point B. That's how strong and how certain and how absolute our faith should be in God. It shouldn't be a matter of, I wonder if God's going to do it. I hope God will do it. We should know just like we know when we flip that switch on in the car, when we've turned that switch on in the house. You know, I heard somebody talking the other day about the stock market and how the stock market's, you know, everybody's watching it and worrying about what it's going to do. I'm watching it a little bit, you know, kind of want to know what's going on in the world. I don't have any faith in it, though, because that thing goes up and down and all over the place. You can't count on it, but I can count on my God. Amen. I can count on him. I can count on his word. I can count on his promise. See, I've got a whole book full of them. I've told you this many times, but this thing is full of promises. And they're like canceled checks. They've already been through the bank, proven out, cashed, good. They're good to go. You can count on these checks that he wrote us. Amen? Amen. I tell you what, though, we can't be double-minded with it. See, we want to put our faith in God and somewhere else. And God showed something to me. He said, your faith can only go one place at a time. You can't have faith in that doctor and in that doctor's report and have faith in God. You can't have faith in what that bank statement says and have faith in God at the same time. Your faith can only go one place at a time. It's a zero-sum game. Your faith is going to go somewhere. Every time something happens, you're going to put that faith somewhere. And the question is, are you going to put it in the things of this earth, or are you going to do what Jesus said and put your faith in God? Because I tell you what, that's what's going to make the difference, is where you put your faith. Now let's back up just a little bit. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So when we talk about faith, that's what we're talking about. It's a powerful concept. It's something that that God created, that he gave to us so that we would know what we could count on, so we would know what to do. The Amplified, I love it in the Amplified because it really spells it out. It says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So just because I don't see it doesn't mean I can't believe it, because faith says it's true. Faith says it is. Even though I don't see it, I don't hear it, I don't feel it, I don't know it in the natural, I know it in faith. And when we have our faith in God, that's the best place to put our faith. Because, you know, let me give you an example. So you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, you know, we ran this test, and you've got 6 months to live. And then you go to your Bible, and your Bible says that by his stripes we're healed. My question is, where are you going to put your faith? Because you can't believe both reports. You can't believe that you're going to be healed. You can't believe that by his stripes we're healed and believe what the doctor said at the same time. You got to decide where you're going to put that faith. Are you going to have faith in God, or are you going to have faith in man and man's reports? Because it's going somewhere. You're going to have faith in something. Every time you hear something, every time you think about something, your faith, you're putting it somewhere. Because people will say, well, I just don't know if I have faith for that. Oh, you've got faith. It's just a matter of where you're putting it at. It's a matter of where you're going to decide to rest that faith and let it do its work, because that faith is going to work one way or the other. If you put your faith in that doctor's report, I guarantee you will die in 6 months. If that's what he said and you believe that, your body will respond. Your body will go along with it. If you put your faith in God and you believe what the Bible says, I wouldn't be surprised to see you here in 10 years. Because your faith is going to put to action one thing or the other. It's either going to build up what's going on in the world, or it's going to build up what's going on in the spirit, but it can't do both at the same time. Now, I'm not saying doctors are bad. Don't misunderstand me, because I believe God uses doctors. But we have to have the faith in God to use the doctor, not the faith in the doctor and hope that God will come along and fill in the holes. The faith goes to God first, and then let the doctors do their work. I've seen too many times where God's done things with doctors, and the doctors even say, I don't understand how it happened. I don't know how it worked, but it worked. But it wasn't the doctor, it was God. Amen? Now, I tell you what, started on this a minute ago. I've heard time and again people say, well, I just don't have enough faith. I don't know if I have enough faith for that. I don't have as much faith as Pastor does. I don't have as much faith as Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so. Can I tell you that's not biblical? Can I tell you that we all have enough faith? And I can prove that to you by the Word of God. If you'll go with me over to Romans 12 and 3, it's laid out in black and white. For I say, through the grace given unto me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man or woman or child the measure of faith. You know, when God was dealing that faith, he only had one measuring cup. He didn't have a whole shelf of them go, well, let's see, Pastor, we're going to need to give him an extra big faith. And Dennis, we're going to need him extra big faith, but I don't know, Sharon, let's give her the little cup. That's not how that worked. There was one measure of faith given to each and every one of us, because without that faith, we couldn't believe for salvation. Without that faith, we couldn't stand on anything that Bible says. So if we're going to believe what the Bible says, God had to give us enough faith to do it. And that same measure of faith is enough to save you when you're sick. That same measure of faith is enough to help you stand when you're going through problems. That same measure of faith is more than enough to take care of what you need. See, it's not an issue of enough faith. It's an issue of where are you putting the faith and how are you using it. Are you using it according to the instructions that we received from Jesus when he said, have faith in God? Or are we using it to have faith in man or in our own abilities? Because that's another place where we get tripped up, is we decide that we can handle this. I have a lot of faith in my ability to handle this situation, so I'll call on God if I need him. That ain't how it works. That doesn't get us where we're going. We're supposed to have faith in God, not in our own abilities, not in what Jim Black can do or what Robert Clark can do, but what God can do. Amen? You know, that's where we get into trouble, because we start thinking we've got this handled and we don't need him. And next thing you know, we've put our faith in the wrong place. And I don't necessarily want to have faith in me. I've seen me mess it up too many times. It don't go so well. You know, and a lot of times we have our faith in our boss or our job. We believe that that job is what's providing for us. Can I tell you that God said that he would provide for all of our needs? He didn't say your job would provide. He said he would provide. Now, he'll use a job. He'll use a court case. He'll use whatever he needs to get provision to you. But it comes from him first. He's just using something in this world to get provision to you. And I tell you, you know, Peter, he gets kind of a rough time a lot. Let's take a look at him for a minute. I've preached a little bit on this before, but God showed me something different with it too. Over in Matthew, you know, we've all heard this story, but Matthew 14 and 22, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." I want you to see something right there. Jesus didn't try to go walk on water without first praying and getting square with the Lord. He wanted to talk to God first and make sure he had it all together before he went out and tried to walk on the water. Too many times we go out and try to walk on the water all by ourselves and we forget to bring God with us. But that's free. That's not part of the message. But the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now, this wasn't just like a calm lake out here. It's a storm. It's a mess out there. And Jesus takes off walking. That took a lot of faith on Jesus' part because he was 100% human, 100% God. But the human part of him had to have been going, okay, let's try it. But even Jesus had to have faith to get out there and walk on that water. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. They couldn't comprehend the idea that Jesus was walking on the water. They'd never seen it happen before. "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" See, now what happened there is Peter moved his faith around. When he first stepped out onto the water, he had faith in God. He put his faith in Jesus. Jesus said, "Come." He got out and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Then he started looking around, and he moved his faith to what he saw instead of what he knew. Now all of a sudden he had faith in those waves, and he had faith in that water, and he had faith in the fact that he couldn't believe his feet were walking on top of the water, and he started to sink. But then he turned his faith again, and he said, "Lord, save me." He reached out to God and still had enough faith in Jesus to say, "Save me, I don't want to drown. I don't want to go under." Because it still takes a lot of faith to call out to somebody else who's walking on the water when you don't believe you can walk on it. Think about it. He didn't call back to the people on the ship. He talked to the guy standing on the water. He had enough faith and he had enough sense to go, "I trust him. I'm going to have faith in him. I'm going to put my faith here." Because if he'd have tried to get back to the ship, he'd have drowned. If he'd have tried to do something else, he'd have drowned. But instead, he put his faith in God, just like he was told to. And God helped him and lifted him up. The same thing happens with us. So many times we get our faith all messed up. We get our faith in the doctors, in the lawyers, in our spouse, in our friends. And suddenly we realize we're in trouble and he's right there. All we have to do is move our faith where it belongs. And suddenly we're in a different situation. Now all of a sudden we're not having to deal with that situation anymore because we've got God on our side. But you see, Peter had more than enough faith. It took a lot of faith to step out on that water to begin with. He had plenty. It wasn't a matter of not having enough. So I don't ever want you to think you don't have enough faith, because you have plenty of faith. It's a matter of where are you going to put it? Are you going to put it in God, or are you going to put it in man and what goes on in this world? Because I'll tell you, a lot of times it's easy to put faith in this world because I can see it. I can hear it. I can understand it. You know, if I see a storm coming, I don't need a whole lot of faith to believe it's going to rain. That's easy. I can have faith in that storm, but it takes a lot of faith to believe that God's going to deliver me from that storm. And it requires putting that faith in God to do that. And you know, Paul talked about that also. He warned us. Let's see here. Paul also talked about that, and I'm jumping around a little bit, honey. I'm sorry. In 1 Corinthians 2:2-5. He said, For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our faith should not be in the wisdom of men. Your faith shouldn't be in what I'm telling you right now unless you believe it's coming from God. If you believe you're hearing from God, then put that faith in God, not in Jim Black. Because Jim Black will let you down at some point. It won't be on purpose, but I guarantee you it'll happen. But like Dennis told us this morning, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. When you put your faith in the power of God, you can't lose. You can't go wrong when you put your faith in him. No matter what it looks like, no matter how it feels, you can't put your faith in, you can't go wrong if you put your faith in God. And you know the other thing that God continues to promise us? He said, I'm not going to put you in a situation that I can't get you out of. If you go with me over into 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, I believe it is. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, for God is faithful. Oh, I like that. For God is faithful. When he said, put your faith in God, God is faithful. He's going to back that up. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You know what that word will not suffer means? It means he will not allow. He's not going to allow something to happen to you that you can't get past with his help. He's not going to allow something to happen to you that's going to overtake you. He's not going to allow something to happen to you that he can't lift you right back up out of. But it's a question of where our faith goes. Because we have to have faith in God in order for him to be able to deliver on that promise. Because see, he's standing there. He's ready to lift us up. Imagine if Peter standing out on that water, or rather sinking into that water, had not reached out. Jesus would have still been reaching, but Peter could have put his hands in his pockets and sank if he hadn't had the faith and hadn't reached out to touch the Lord. So many times we say, well, where was God? God was standing right there with his hand out. We had our hands in our pockets because we weren't putting our faith in the right place. We were putting our faith in man and in ourselves and in everything else instead of putting it in him. Because I'm telling you right now, it does not matter what your situation looks like. It does not matter what it seems like. It does not matter what that doctor said. It does not matter what that bank account says. It does not matter what you think you see or hear or feel. It doesn't matter what these knees say. And believe me, they've been talking lately. And it doesn't matter what they say, because my God said something else. And it's a matter of what are we going to believe. And I'm going to believe that in Jesus' name, these knees are healed, healthy, and whole. And I'm going to wait until I get my manifestation, because I'm not leaving without it. I'm not going to let it go, because my God said he wouldn't give me something I couldn't handle, and we're about to the edge of what I can handle with these knees some days. So that means he's got to step up and do something, because he promised. And my God doesn't lie to me, and he doesn't lie to you. Amen? I've never, ever seen him lie, and I don't believe he's even physically capable of it. I don't think he could lie if he tried. And something else about this. Did you know that faith follows the same laws as sowing and reaping? Did you know you sow faith to receive a harvest of blessing? Or you sow faith to receive a harvest of God delivering you? Or you sow faith to receive from the world if you choose to sow it into the world? You reap exactly what you sow. If you sow faith into that doctor, you're going to get what that doctor can deliver you. If you sow faith into that bank account, you're going to get what that bank account can deliver to you. If you sow faith into being tired, because we can believe we're tired, you'll get exactly what tired can deliver to you. It's wherever you sow that faith, you're going to reap from. Because you can't sow faith into the world and expect to reap from God. It doesn't work. You don't plant corn and harvest carrots. But yet we try to do that. We try to have faith over here and then wonder why God's not delivering. We haven't sown our faith in the right place. It's the same concept as sowing and reaping. In Galatians 6, 7 through 9, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Goes right back to the deal with Peter again. Peter fainted. He got weary in trusting God, and he started to go under. But if he'd have kept his eye on the prize, if he'd have kept his faith in God instead of his faith in what he saw, if he had kept sowing that faith into God instead of sowing it into what his vision and his senses told him, he'd have walked all the way out to Jesus. They could have walked around the boat. They could have done all kinds of stuff. I think they could have got out there and danced a little jig if they'd have wanted to. But instead, he put his faith in what he saw, and he went down. So when we're ready to start sowing faith, it's a question of what field are you going to sow it in? Are you going to sow it with God or are you going to sow it with man? Because you're going to reap from it one way or the other. Either way you do it, you're going to reap. If you go plant, you get something that comes up out of the ground. If you sow into putting faith in God, you will receive from God. It may not look like you want it to look. It may not feel like you want it to feel, but you will receive what God has for you. And it may not come when you want it to come. Because you know what? You can't sow tomatoes today and go pick them off the vine tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. I've watched my parents plant tomatoes for years and years. You plant them early, you water them, you water them, you complain because there's nothing there, you water them some more, you go out in the heat and you tend them and you complain some more because there's nothing there, but then at just the right time they start to have little flowers on it. And then if you can keep the rabbits and everything off of it, you get tomatoes. And hopefully you get some beautiful tomatoes. Tell you what, that's exactly the process we go through. You have faith and you believe God for something, but it doesn't come like that. And so now you complain, well, where's God at? Why isn't God taking care of it? Oh, Brother Paul, I've been believing God for a good 3-4 hours now and he hasn't done it. I just knew he was going to deliver me by now. If he'd do it on my time, we'd already be done. We could be over at Brahms celebrating instead of waiting on God. And then a week later, well, you know, Sister Florine, I've been believing God for a week now, and he hasn't done it yet. Yeah, just been waiting a week, a whole week I've waited on God, and he hasn't done it yet. Well, Sister Phyllis, I've been waiting a month now on God, and he hasn't done it yet. I don't think God's listening to me anymore. But then the flowers start to come. Then all of a sudden, all that sowing of faith for the month starts to produce results. And it's always right on time. And it's always exactly what we need. It may not feel like it at the time, but it's always exactly what we need. But we have to have patience. We have to be willing to wait and understand that God's going to deliver when it's time to deliver. Because sometimes if he delivers early, it's not going to work out very good. And sometimes if he did it the way we wanted him to do it, we'd miss something. I tell you, I promised you guys on Wednesday, if you came tonight, you'd get to hear my testimony about my job. And this is the perfect place for it because it's been exactly that scenario for me. Back in March, I got the lovely experience of going up to Seattle to find out that they decided they don't need me anymore after 10 years. They've decided they can divvy my work up amongst 3 people and save some money. And they'd like me to stay for 45 days and teach these 3 people how to do my job. I tell you, that was a lovely day. I was so excited. I'd like to tell you that I had this amazing faith and just went, not a problem, God will provide. That's not what happened. That is not what happened. I was all kinds of upset and my flesh reared up like you wouldn't believe. Now thankfully I had the good sense as I saw that what was coming to ask God to help me, because I don't want to know what would have happened if I hadn't had his help to get through that. But all the way driving back to the hotel in Seattle, I had some not nice things to say about that situation. And I was asking God, how can you let this happen to me, God? Where are you at? Why on earth is this happening to me? I got into the poor me's like you wouldn't believe. I got on my pity pot and I just pitied. I tell you what, got to the hotel, and I sat down in the hotel, and God just kind of tapped me on the shoulder. And he said, are you done? Tell you what, God's gentle. He never gets mad at me. He never yells at me, but sometimes he puts me in my place with just the smallest phrase. Are you done? Yes, Lord, I'm done. Oh, good. And then he started bringing to my mind the fact that since I've been 16 years old, I have never missed a paycheck. Not one paycheck since 16. And I'm a long ways from 16 now. And not one time, really, you're amening that I'm a long way from 16? God bless you, Pastor. I tell you what, though. He started reminding me of that. And he said, are you going to put your faith in T-Mobile? We'll edit that out. Are you going to put your faith in your job, or are you going to put your faith in me? And I went, uh-oh. Well, I guess I better put in God, because my job ain't doing much for me right now. But I got serious with the Lord and I said, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put my faith in you because you have never let me down. You've never let me miss a paycheck. You've never left me wanting. And you know what, God? I'm the only provider my family has. I'm the sole breadwinner. I have to take care of that beautiful woman back there and those children. So, Lord, I need you. And I got down on my face in that hotel room. I laid a towel down first because they don't do a good job of vacuuming. But I got down on my face before the Lord in that hotel room, and I spent a couple hours with him just laying it out there. And I began to just really start to put my trust in him. And I said, Lord, you've got to help me because I can't do this myself. I can't. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to take care of my family. I don't know how I'm going to pay the mortgage if something doesn't change. And so I'm laying there and I'm talking to God, and God starts to talk to me back. And he says, well, you're not out of money yet, are you? Well, no. You've got 45 days, don't you? Well, yeah. Okay, well, what are you whining about? Okay, well, that's fair. So I didn't really want to talk to him anymore after he called me a whiner, but I went ahead and did it anyway. And then I called and I talked to my parents. And the first thing my dad said was, God's never let you down. He's not going to let you down now. And the next day I called and I talked to my pastor. And my pastor said, God's not going to let you down. He's going to take care of you. And I called Brother Dennis. And Brother Dennis said, I know exactly where you're at. I've been there, and trust me, he's going to take care of you. And over time, it took a while, because I went through my lovely 45 days teaching other people how to do my job. And that took a lot of faith and a lot of trust in God, because that's not really what I wanted to do. But over that time, I had people encouraging me. I had people keeping me in faith, lifting me up, reminding me what God said. It goes back to what you preached on last Sunday, Pastor, the importance of us bearing each other's burdens. And along the way, I had this job that came along, and I looked at it, and I went, I don't even want that job. And then it came up again. Okay, fine, I'll apply for that job. And I had three different ones that I went through three or four or five interviews with. And there was one I really liked. And can I tell you, that's not the one I'm getting? The one I'm getting is the one that I wasn't too keen about and I almost didn't even go to the interview for. But partly because I didn't think they could afford me. But as it turns out, the guy who wanted to hire me went to the president of the company and got them to agree to go above the maximum for that position so that they could afford to hire me. So that they could give me what I needed and just a little bit more than what I needed. So God's delivered everything that I need, plus some. It's not the job I wanted. It's not the situation I wanted. And I'm having to continue to trust him and have my faith in God, because it's not what I'd have picked, but I'm trusting him and I'm going where he's taken me to. So what I tell you about that is not to glorify me in the least, because if it was up to me, I'd still be whining about the job I lost. It's to glorify God, because God's taken me somewhere different. And even though it's not as much as I made before, it's going to be fewer hours. It doesn't have all the travel that the other job had. I'm going to have time for my ministry, time for my family, time to do things that God wants me to do and that I've been asking God for. Because that occurred to me the other day, that I've been praying for a long time. God, give me a job where I can be with my family more, where I can be in my ministry more. Well, he did that. He didn't do it exactly the way I'd liked for him to have done it. I could have done with it where it was my decision instead. But it all worked out, because I put my faith in God instead of putting my faith in a job, or instead of putting my faith in people, or instead of putting my faith in the situation that I looked at. And I'm telling you, God will deliver every single time that we put our faith in him. Every single time. And you know, the other thing, when I talked about, we have to put our, it's all or nothing. Your faith either goes in God or it goes somewhere else. The cool part is, when we're all in, God delivers all in. He doesn't deliver just a little bit. He delivers his very best to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and 6 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So when you go all in with that faith and you sow every bit of faith you have into whatever it is that you need from God, you can expect to receive every bit of what God has and then some for you. But when you just put a little bit of faith in there, well, maybe I'll trust God a little bit. Well, I'll trust him to get me a job, but it's got to be the job I want. I might have ended up getting one of those other jobs, and it probably wouldn't work out very good. But when we trust God fully, when we go all in with him, he goes all in right back with us. Amen? We receive his very best when we give him our very best. But when we try to divide that faith, we miss out, because it doesn't work. You can't put your faith in two different places. You have to put your faith in God. He said, have faith in God. Put that back up, baby, my first scripture. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. If you look in your Bible, that's written in red. I wish we could put it in red up there, Pastor. It's driving me crazy. We're going to have to figure that out. Because you know what? When it's in red, that means my Jesus said it. And I can take that baby to the bank. I can stand on that. They said, Lord, how is this possible? And he said, have faith in God. He had just done the impossible. He had just spoken to a tree and said, you're cursed, I'm done. And it died the next day. That doesn't happen in the natural. I tell you, I used to work for a lawn company and tree company. And if we wanted to kill something, we couldn't kill it that fast with all the chemicals in the world. We'd have people that wanted to get rid of their lawn and start over. We'd go out and we'd spray some really awful stuff that would kill that lawn. But it'd take days and days with chemicals. And Jesus just spoke to that tree and said, I'm done. You're cursed. And it was gone. It died like that. The disciples had just seen the impossible. And when they asked him, how does that work? He said, have faith in God. So when you need the impossible from God, I'm going to give you the same answer Jesus gave. Have faith in God. When you need healing, when you need something delivered, when you need something to change in your life, have faith in God. Don't have faith in man. Don't have faith in yourself. I'm not saying don't reach out to people and depend on them to help you and lift you up and encourage you, but together, put your faith together in God. I tell you what, that's why it worked with my job, because I had people who were believing with me in God. Not in man, not in me, not in what was going on in this world, but I had people reaching out to God saying, God, help him. God, deliver for him. God, provide for him. Brother Leonard and Sister Betty, I know were praying with me and standing with me. So many of you were. And it's because we were depending on God, not on man, that delivered. Because can I tell you, I didn't miss a paycheck. Can I tell you, I'm not going to miss one single paycheck. God has still not let me down. In 24 years, God has not let me down. That's a long time to never miss a paycheck. That is a long time. And you know what? To learn how to properly sow our faith, we've got to stay in this word. We've got to stay in here. Will you give me just a couple more minutes? We've got to stay in there. Romans 10 and 17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, and then hear it some more and read it some more and hear it some more and read it some more. I tell you, there were days when I was going through that I didn't know if I was going to have a job or not, that I'd get a text from a dear friend, and it would just be a little bit of scripture or just a little thought that came from the scripture that would lift me up, that would remind me, and it would build that faith, and it would remind me where to keep my faith at. It would remind me who I was depending on. So when you're struggling, when you need to figure out where to put your faith at, get in the Word. Because the Word will bring that faith, and it will guide you on where to put that faith, and it will help you when you're looking at a situation and God's not doing it the way you thought he was going to. He's not working it out according to First Jim. You know, apparently he's never read that book because he doesn't follow it, but he follows his book. And I tell you what, his book's a whole lot better than mine. He's got a plan that I can't see and I don't understand, but he's working it out. And can I tell you, he's got a plan for you. Sister Stephanie, he's got a plan for you. Sister Betty, he's got a plan for you. Each and every one of us. Brother Lee, he's got a plan for you. He's working things out in your life that you don't even see right now. But as you have faith in him, he'll continue to do that. Brother Marvin, he's got a plan for you. He's working things out in your life that you can't even see right now. But he knows what he's doing way better than any of us do. But the key to all of that is to have faith in God. Thanks for joining us here at Souls Harbor Church. We hope you've enjoyed spending time with us and hearing the Word of God. We invite you to join us live for the service and be part of all that God is doing here at Souls Harbor. Be sure to check back each week for our latest message. And in the meantime, be blessed in Jesus' name.